Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Good morning,
Roto Experts.
To the end zone!
The mark of fantasy excellence.
You have to be careful about who you think is stepping forward on the depth chart.
Brock, it's time for a touchdown!
You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts in the morning.
Let's cock-a-doodle do it.
Players, they feel uptight on the Thursday night. It'll be all right. Because they got the Roto Experts in the morning here on SiriusXM Fantasy, here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Well, I'm stuck in a time warp or something. Scott Engelund, George Kurtz here taking you through the rest of the week. And if Jalen Ramsey was playing fantasy football, he would not think that the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package of RotoExperts.com sucks. Check out George's new IDP rankings and new this morning from Brandon Murchison, the Roto Superstar. We have how to progressively attack a snake draft through different stages. So check that out. Enter the King at checkout for a special discount on your Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. George, good morning. Jalen Ramsey doesn't think you suck.
Does he think I'm trash?
No, I didn't hear him say anything about you.
Well, that's probably good, right? I mean, I guess it's a breath of fresh air, right? To hear someone say, I mean, he went down in the list of quarterbacks and pretty much, nailed a lot of people to the wall, threw a lot of people under the bus, doesn't care. And good for him. He can back up, right? He can walk the walk, so he can talk the talk.
Yeah, you know, we're gonna cover that a lot. We're gonna do the Jalen Ramsey thing from a fantasy angle, and look for some of his comments today, George, and talk about whether these guys really suck or not. Sound like fun?
Yeah, I have no problem doing it. Let's talk about it, Scott.
Yeah, but first let's look at Jalen Ramsey himself, and as a player, you know, he's kind of like this new breed of cornerback, you know. Sort of like a Richard Sherman in his approach, where he's a ball hawk and he's got a lot of length and he's very aggressive. Kind of like a Norman in terms of his trash talk, in which he doesn't seem to respect his opponents at all. I mean, you remember what happened to A.J. Green last year?
Yeah, I think we all remember that little fisticuff, little fight there that happened between Ramsey and Green. More on Green's side. Green, what, put him in a headlock, threw him down to the ground, threw many punches.
Is Jalen Ramsey the kind of guy, like, he arguably maybe the best corner in the game right now, and, you know, very young, in the prime of his career? Is Jalen Ramsey a guy where fantasy players are going to start treating it like Darrell Revis a few years ago and saying, I'm really worried about my number one receiver because he's facing Jalen Ramsey this week. Should I bench him?
Well, the thing is, I don't believe... that Ramsey's going to follow. He's not going to travel, so he's not going to go side to side with the number one receiver. They have A.J. Boye on the other side. They like him as well. So I'm not going to panic. I'm not happy about it. Listen, I'm not happy if I'm facing the Jaguars defense at all, period. But I'm not going to bench a number one. You know, I'm not benching, you're not benching Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham, Julio Jones, you know, Green. You know, maybe you could talk me into Green. But he doesn't travel. So it's not going to come into my thinking all that often. And you'd have to have a hell of a wide receiver core.
Well, Sherman didn't travel either, and fantasy players were always worried whenever their top receiver would face the Seattle secondary.
Yeah, well, worry is one thing. Benching him is quite another.
Well, we heard the benching questions, and, you know, we'll get into what he said about Eli Manning a little more, but they open against the Giants, and it's going to be Odell Beckham versus Jalen Ramsey and Boye in that secondary right away. Then they face New England in the second game, and you know, maybe you worry a little bit about Chris Hogan there. Tennessee the third week, the Jets the fourth week. They really don't have any receivers that really scare you. And you know, then they face Kansas City in the fifth game. You're going to be worried about Tyreek Hill?
I'm not a big Tyreek Hill guy, so he won't be on any of my teams anyway. I won't have to worry about that. So am I going to worry? I mean, Hill's a different kind of receiver. You know, he's a flat-out runner. Can Ramsey run with him? I might go on the other way on this. If I'm Jacksonville, am I still thinking Ramsey's going to go one-on-one without a safety over the top on certain plays? You know, so no, Hill's a big play guy. You know, if he hits it, he's going to have a monster day. Is he going to have a monster day that weekend? Probably not. But Hill might be the one kind of receiver who I wouldn't panic as much about. But as I said, I'm not a big Hill guy.
Yeah, then they face Dallas. And then October 21st, in the seventh game of the season, they play Houston, which should be very interesting.
Yeah, because DeAndre Hopkins, obviously. And that, you know, it's funny. If you're a Jacksonville, you're the defensive coordinator there. I know you have Boye, who's very good himself. But, you know, for the way Ramsey is, as good a cornerback, I think he is the best cornerback in the NFL. Would you want him to travel, especially against a lot of these teams you've mentioned don't even barely have a number one wide receiver, more or less two. But against Hopkins, against Beckham, would you want him to travel and follow these guys wherever they go?
You don't necessarily have to because you got Boye on the other side. The safeties are good. And you effectively shut down half the field by not having him travel.
Yeah, but against a lot of these teams you mentioned, Scott, they don't have a second receiver in New England. Who? You know, Jets, really? Dallas? They don't have a second receiver. So I don't want Ramsey covering Cole Beasley. You know, I want Ramsey covering the number one here.
There's also something to be said about shutting down half the field, though, and the quarterback feels like, you know, maybe he can't go to his right as much, et cetera. I think there's something to be said for that equally as well. Let's go down the list of what Jalen Ramsey talked about here and the quarterbacks, and we'll measure it against where they are ranked on the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Package and George Kurtz's player rankings. Check out the Exclusive Edge Package now on the rotoexperts.com, and obviously enter the King at checkout for a special discount. So this article is in GQ. You can check it out on GQ.com right now. And anybody who's a football fan or has already heard of it. So they say, who are the quarterbacks, in your opinion, Jalen, who don't suck? Aaron Rodgers did not. Tom Brady doesn't suck. And George Kurtz agrees in his fantasy football rankings on rotoexperts.com. Of course, Rodgers is pretty much the consensus number one. You don't have Brady number two, though. You have him number three. Is that because of the receiving core?
Yeah. I mean, as I under Brady, I might have had him number two if Edelman wasn't suspended. If they didn't trade Cooks, I'd feel a little differently. But no, I can't have him number two for that reason. I think I have him number three, mind you, so we're not going that far down the list here, and I keep playing around with those rankings. But I feel fairly certain that I'm going to leave Russell Wilson at number two. But that could change. I mean, the Doug Baldwin injury does concern me somewhat, now the injury to Rashard Penny. But I think Wilson, the way he can make something out of nothing on most plays with what he does, very creative back there. And I have a lot of respect for the man. I don't see myself changing. I did follow that the Scott Fish Bowl. Aaron Rodgers went off the board in the first quarterback. I took the second quarterback, and it was Russell Wilson.
If you have any opinions on the Jalen Ramsey comments, both from an NFL and a fantasy perspective, call us at 844-843-6879, 844-84-FNTSY. He says Marcus Mariota is a really good quarterback for that team. I don't know if George Kurtz is buying in so much. He's 18th ranked at quarterback for me. He's number 16 on rotoexperts.com. Mariota's got something to prove, but there's a new coaching staff there and a new offensive coordinator who's going to open things more up. They're going to use more three-wide receiver sets. The ground and pound is going to be gone. So there is some upside for Mariota this year if he can just stay healthy.
That's a big key for Mariota, right? He's had several leg injuries. You know, the coaching staff last year, they didn't want him to run as much. You know, they were trying to protect him, and I get that. But there are several quarterbacks in this league, Mariota being one of them, that if they're not running, they're not going to be anywhere near as effective. You know, so they have to use their legs to move the chains, to move the books. They're not pure 3-5-7-step drop passes, and they're going to throw the ball all over the field. Maybe it's also because Tennessee doesn't have the greatest receiving corps. It's not poor, but it's not great either. I think Ramsey maybe being a little nice because the quarterback's in the division. That's the first thing I thought of, and I'm like, you know what? I don't think Ramsey cares.
Yeah, and here's the thing, too. You know, he's got Delanie Walker, who seems ageless, but now he gets Deion Lewis this year, who's a really good pass catcher out of the backfield if he can stay healthy, too. So there is some upside. Do you have him at 18 with an arrow pointing up?
Yes. In a two-quarterback league, super flex, too, or if you start two quarterbacks, and I play in a whole bunch of those, they're my favorite type of leagues. I have no problem with Mariota as my number two.
Now, I scroll all the way down. And I'm looking for Tyrod Taylor. You have him number 27. He's even two spots behind Case Keenum, which I don't think I agree with necessarily. And Jalen Ramsey told GQ about Tyrod Taylor. He says, I think Tyrod Taylor is actually a better quarterback than he gets credit for because he does not make mistakes. He's honestly a Marcus Mariota type player where he manages a game really well. Always has them in at least position to be in the game late in the game. He doesn't have turnovers that often. In his entire career with the Bills, he had 52 touchdowns and only 16 interceptions. And he's going to have a better supporting cast than he ever did before. Are you ranking Tyrod Taylor too low? Maybe Jalen Ramsey thinks so.
I don't think Jalen Ramsey is following fantasy. The question there is, when, if does Baker Mayfield take over? That's why Taylor's ranked so low. The only reason he's ranked so low.
Hugh Jackson is insistent it's not happening anytime soon.
Yeah, and what do I like to say about coaches? Well, you and I don't do many shows together, but when is a coach lying? When his lips move. He's not telling us the truth there. You know, maybe it works out that way, but he has no idea. And he should have never said that anyway. It made no sense. Let the guys battle it out and see what happens. Unless he just doesn't want to put any pressure on the rookie, which I would understand. Mayfield's going to play at some point this season. All right, the Browns are going to be a better team, but they're not going to be a playoff team. And they're not going to be, we'll just ride Taylor into this. Mayfield's going to play, and that's going to eliminate Taylor's fantasy value. That's why he's as low as he is. I did these rankings almost a month ago. So the closer we get to the season, Taylor's going to start. He'll move into at least quarterback two status. So he'll be in my top 24.
Now, how much stock do you put in what Jalen Ramsey says about these quarterbacks? Because, you know, you got to take a look at, the fact that, you know, he actually faces these guys every week.
He pretty much tree-trashed a lot of people. I mean, there was really nobody good, according to Ramsey. I mean, so you can't put a lot of stock in it. It's great fun. It was great. You never see players talk like this, at least very rarely. And you know, I mean, Tom Coughlin's the, I don't know if we're calling him the GM there, whatever his title is, he's going to have a conniption over this. All right, so Ramsey's going to get a talking to. Whether that stops him or not, I have no idea. But you know he's going to get a talking to that. You can't do this. You can't go there and trash, 20 of 32 quarterbacks. I said it's great for us. I don't know if we'll ever see that again.
All right, let's hear what you think at 844-843-6879, 844-84-FNTSY. Let's go to Kenny in Philly. Kenny, how you doing there, Cowboy?
How you guys doing? How you guys doing?
What's good going morning, on? Fellas. You don't sound
you
like doing? It's a good morning.
How you doing, Jersey?
How you guys? How you doing?
I'm hey, doing well, I'm doing okay.
On the Jalen Ramsey thing, something real quick. I just think he's young. This is a completely new generation, as you just said, George. You know, this is unprecedented. You know, just how he is. As far as him as an individual, but did you guys mention that Kansas City game? I think that's actually going to be interesting for people like maybe a Travis Kelce over the middle of the field. And I don't know if either one, if Bouye or Ramsey can keep up with Tyreek Hill. I'm not sure anyone can, but I just think that game would be a little bit interesting considering they're not playing any top line two wide receiver competition the first couple of games. What do you think about that,
George?
Well, I think the first, Scott went through about the first six or seven games. That probably is the hardest one outside of Odell Beckham and the Giants there. They seem to have a very nice schedule. He can talk. I mean, he's great anyway, but he can talk a lot of crap.
Right.
They're not facing very many quarterbacks,
right.
Very many good wide receivers in the first half.
And you got to put an asterisk. Right.
He's a different type of receiver, man. He can run.
Right.
He can just run. So I don't know if Rams would be able to feel about covering him running, 4.240s.
Right, but you gotta also add in there that it is Patrick Mahomes, so we got to see what their connection is going to be like in the regular.
Yeah, you're talking about an inexperienced quarterback against the best defense in the NFL, and how much the defensive line gets a push there, really going to affect his timing. That's a bad matchup for Mahomes or any quarterback, especially a guy starting for the first time. So you just can't look at it, the speed versus Jalen Ramsey. And, Jalen Ramsey is so good that he could just give Tyreek Hill a cushion, get into his back pedal, and prevent the big play. And he's going to get safety help over the top. Not always when you have a superstar receiver and a superstar cornerback or a superstar defensive secondary, the secondary is not always going to win, but Tyreek Hill's not a superstar.
Right. All right. I'm what you guys to mention. First of all, I know you don't like this guy, Scotty, because it's standing up kind of running style. But what do you guys think about Latavius Murray? Because if some happens to Delvin Cook, no one's there anymore. McKinnon's not there anymore. And you got touch on what you got to think about Chubb, because no one's talking about him as well.
I think Dalvin Cook, this could really be his big breakout year, Murray ran really well last week in the preseason. And I was a big Murray fan, back in the days with the early in the Raiders. And when he's healthy, he's a big running back with some deceptive speed and some good spin moves. But I really think Dalvin Cook, has the potential to bury him, although he might have steal some goal line carries. Who else was there? Did you mention
Chubb?
What
do you think of Chubb there, George?
Oh, I think if Cleveland would have known they were drafting him, they more than likely would not have signed Carlos Hyde. I think Hyde's 1 year and done, and he'll move on from Cleveland here. I like Chubb. The problem is the only defined role right now there is Duke Johnson, third down back. We know what he'll do. He'll catch the ball in the backfield. He'll do his damage there. Chubb and Hyde could really cannibalize each other. I'm staying away from both.
Yeah, Chubb was slamming into walls last week in the preseason opener. He didn't look good. And Duke Johnson's in danger of being a bust with all the receiving talent that they added. It's not a case of where they're desperate to throw at anybody anymore. Thanks a lot, Kenny, as always.
All right. 844-843-6879,
844-844-FNTSY. Let's go to Steve in Texas. Steve, yeehaw, how you doing? Okay, Steve dropped. All right, get your cowboy hat back on and call in, Steven. And so let's continue to talk some Jalen Ramsey here. 844-843-6879. They asked him about Jimmy Garoppolo, who he faced last year, and he said when they beat us, his hype picked up. He said, but he didn't beat us. It wasn't like he diced us up. It was literally all schemes. But if you know how to work within your schemes, then it means you're good. So I guess you could say that he's good. There's a lot of hype, obviously, on Garoppolo coming into this year. You have him ranked 14th. Doesn't look like you're buying in. I had him ranked 12th, but I was really impressed with him in the preseason opener, too. A lot of pressure in his face, making a lot of good throws. Every time I see Garoppolo, look, he hasn't won a meaningful game yet. That's against him. And he's never been the guy at the start of the season either. That's against him. But every time I see Garoppolo, it seems like he's hell-bent on, zapping out the negatives that people say about him. And, I'm starting to wonder if I'm underrating him. I'm not going to put him number 5 like Chris Ventra. But, maybe this guy should be, top 10.
I'm not putting a guy who has 5-7 career starts in top. I mean, defense has now seen film on him. They'll find his weaknesses, find out what he doesn't do well, and they'll work on that. I like Garoppolo, but a quarterback is so deep. For me, who are you taking out of your top 10 or out of your top 12 to put him in there? Stafford, Rivers, Roethlisberger? These are the guys that one of these guys would have to come out.
I might take him over Roethlisberger.
I'm not taking him over Roethlisberger. Roethlisberger does. I understand he's got the home road splits and there's some problems there. And I probably won't draft him in one quarterback leagues because I don't want to deal with that. But I'm not taking him over a proven performer year in, year out. I just can't do that. I think his future is extremely bright. I think if New England had to do it all over again, maybe that doesn't happen, or they should have gotten a hell of a lot more in a trade. But I'm not putting Garoppolo in my top 10, no.
All right, let's go back to Steve in Texas at 844-843-6879. Steve, how you doing there? Yee-hoo!
Hey, can y'all hear me, man?
Yes, Steve. What's going on?
Oh, that's cool. Anyways, man, I got the 11th pick in my draft, and I'm going to go running back, because it's a non-PPR draft. My league's pretty savvy, and they're going to go running back. The problem is, on my way back, I think it's the 31st pick. Should I go receiver or should I go running back again to solidify that? Because the receiver pool is so deep, but it's a tough one, man. You know what I mean?
Well, here's what you need to stop doing first, Steve, I'll tell you. You need to stop trying to plan your draft ahead of time. You know, you can't rigidly plan things ahead of time. What you really have to do is, you know, have your top 11 ranked. When your first pick is up, you take the best player left on the board, whether it's a running back or a wide receiver. I don't care if it's non-PPR. If I'm getting DeAndre Hopkins dropping to me in number 11, I'm not taking a running back. How many running backs and how many receivers do you start?
I got two running backs, two receivers, and flex. I can start a tight end at the flex as well.
Right. So basically what you want to do in the first four rounds – I would say come out with two running backs and two wide receivers, regardless of order. Regardless of order. I wouldn't say structured in any certain way, because any draft that you do is different. If you've been mock drafting, you notice that every draft is different. So you can't say, okay, I want to go this way, and then that way. It's you can't be too rigid ahead of time. Have a shell of a plan where you get two running backs and two wide receivers in the first four rounds.
What do you think about McCaffrey with the comeback? Because it's 11-12, 12-11.
What do you think, George?
I have no problem with McCaffrey. Run CMC. He's not my favorite. Right. I'm assuming, once again, it's a PPR league. If it's a standard league,
I'm
not touching McCaffrey.
Non-PPR.
Non-PPR, but I don't think I'd be looking at McCaffrey.
Right, he's not going to be my 14th overall pick. That's not going to happen. He's not going to score many touchdowns, because they're going to have Cam Newton's going to run in his share, which he always does. They got C.J. Anderson, who will get a good portion of the others. He's not going to get the ball inside the 5-yard line. So in a standard league, 14th, he won't be in my top 14. He really won't be in my top 20. He's more in that 25 to 30 range there overall, not quarterbacks overall.
Yeah, Brandon Murchison talks about it, and we always say it. This morning on rotoexperts.com in his new snake draft breakdown, enter the king at checkout for a special discount. You can't plan things ahead of time and say, I want to do this and this. You never know who's going to drop to you, especially in a non-PPR league. You could have a really good wide receiver drop to you at that first pick or one of the first two.
Oh, I agree exactly with what you said. If I have the 11th pick, I am listing my top 11 players, and that's the guy I'm taking, best guy on my list. Now, that's not to say I wouldn't lean towards a running back. If it's close, I'm going running back, because running backs are so valuable. Wide receiver is deep, and I think he said he only had to start two wide receivers, which makes me even more want to get a running back, because I can find two wide receivers in the middle rounds of my draft fairly easily. But you put it perfectly. If DeAndre Hopkins happened to slip because everybody and their mother took a running back, you know, eight running backs went before you went, and only Antonio Brown went at the wide receiver range, then I'm taking DeAndre Hopkins. Now, with that second pick, once again, I want to find a running back. I truly do. I don't, because if I don't take a running back with that second pick, Scott, I mean, you're pretty much going zero running back strategy before you go again in the third round.
Yeah, it's something I'd rather do in PPR, because, you know, then I can come out with a Tariq Cohen later.
Exactly.
But, you know, look, it's okay to go running back, wide receiver in those first two picks. You don't have to go running back.
Agreed.
844-843-6879, 844-84-FNTSY. Give us a call, whatever on your mind, no matter what. But, you know, going back to talking about Jalen Ramsey, he's saying about some of these quarterbacks. He says, Deshaun Watson, he'll be the league MVP in a couple of years, 100%. There's not even a debate about that. You know, Watson's got it all. I really liked him coming into last year. Not only mobile, but just, you know, tremendously strong arm, tremendously creative on the go. And you have him fourth, actually, you know, which is pretty respectable.
Yeah, even that's tough for me. Like I said, I think I sometimes I rank the way I would draft, and I would get nervous about Watson because once again I'm a conservative drafter. I like guys who I can look online, see their stats year after year after year, have a pretty good idea of what they're going to do for me. And Watson, you can't do that. He had a fantastic, for a half a season before he got hurt. He was great. He was electrifying. He was fun to watch. Once again, teams will catch on to that now. If this running game is as average as I think it might be, teams are going to play the pass over and over again. And, I wouldn't say force Houston to run the ball, but want Houston to run the ball. So I think this will be a different season for Watson. But once again, the way he played last year, it's hard to ignore. I would take him on my fantasy team.
Fantasy Factor is the only exclusively single-entry DFS site. They have free rolls registering all the time and great promotions for free prizes. Keep a lookout for Fantasy Factor's free $1 million Survivor contest opening about a week before NFL kickoff. Go to fantasyfactor.com. That's fantasyfactor.com. Also, if you'd like to join me and George and Corey Parson and Joe Galina, the Fantasy Jesus, next Friday in New York City in Yonkers at the Empire City Casino for the New York Daily News Fantasy Football Draft Party. Check it out right now at newyorkdailynews.com/fantasydraftparty. That's newyorkdailynews.com/fantasydraftparty. Join us and Chris Sims for a Q&A, drafting, and a night of preseason football.
Like a great pass rusher, the Roto experts will help you sack your fantasy football competition. When you register for their exclusive Edge fantasy package, you get a cheat sheet generator plus a player database with sortable projections and rankings from the best in the business. And you can join the fantasy conversation in the 24/7 Slack chat channel. Visit rotoexperts.com to register for the exclusive Edge fantasy package and enter the promo code FNTSY and you get a 10% discount. That's the rotoexperts.com exclusive Edge fantasy football package, promo code FNTSY.
Hi.
Come on, Church. Coach Church, you know who this is.
I've heard it, but I don't know it yet.
Come on. Classic rock band.
Back. You see the coming.
Aerosmith. Aerosmith back in the saddle again. Yeah.
I like Aerosmith. I wouldn't put them in my personal top 10, top 20, probably more after that, but I do like a few of their songs.
I'd say they probably cracked my top 20. If you enjoy playing daily fantasy sports but are sick of dealing with professionals using algorithms to select hundreds of lineups and entries, try the Props Builder tool at mybookie.ag. Forget having to create multiple lineups. Ditch the hassle of dealing with late scratches and avoid experts winning 90% of the money. Invest in the players that you want without salary caps. And if you sign up for a new account using the promo code FNTSY, you can elect an option to receive a 50% deposit bonus with a rollover requirement. No more dealing with late lineup scratches, no experts to compete against, just you and the prop that you choose. Go to mybookie.ag, enter promo code FNTSY upon sign up, and choose your matchups using the Props Builder tool. That's mybookie.ag, promo code FNTSY, mybookie.ag, promo code FNTSY. Thanks for listening to the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. 844-84-FNTSY, the number to call with your fantasy football questions. And we also have a poll up on at FNTSY Radio. Who is the most underrated quarterback in fantasy football this year? So far, 56% say Phillip Rivers, 25% say Marcus Mariota, 13% say Dak Prescott. Corey Parson voted four times, 6% say Mitch Trubisky. Rivers is woefully underrated. You see this guy going in the 12th round, and he's been a top eight. He was a top eight fantasy quarterback last year and has been top 10 in five of the past six seasons.
It's funny. As soon as you said Dak Prescott, I'm like, oh, Corey did vote a few times. Rivers, it shows you how deep quarterback is, though, because you can wait until round 10, 11, 12 and still get a Phillip Rivers. It's immensely deep here. Cousins is going late. Stafford. I said Roethlisberger earlier. Alex Smith. These are all pretty much your 8 to 12 quarterbacks. Andrew Luck, who's climbing now that everyone believes he's healthy, but he can be found late as of right now. And there are so many quarterbacks going after that aren't even being drafted, aren't being drafted as quarterback ones in one quarterback league. They're reserves. Yeah, that really should be getting more love. Jared Goff, Mariota, Trubisky, who I actually do like this season as well. Matt Ryan is not being drafted as a quarterback one. It's just such a deep position.
Okay, back to Jalen Ramsey, what he said about some of these quarterbacks. He was talking about Deshaun Watson being MVP. He said him and Carson Wentz for every year starting now until 5 to 10 years is going to be them two. They're that good. You're taking a look at where you have Carson Wentz ranked. He's number 6. He's on pace, though, to seemingly be ready for week one, even though the head coach won't openly admit it. All the trends physically seem pointing that way. Wentz threw 33 touchdowns and missed the last two games of the regular season last year. To me, Wentz could be a top 3 fantasy quarterback this year.
Absolutely could be. I mean, he certainly can be. I think the only question with Wentz is this. If you're drafting Wentz, you're probably still drafting Nick Foles. I do believe he'll start week one. But even if I'm drafting Wentz, I'm probably going to have to take Nick Foles just to cover myself for a
quarterback.
And I hate to do that. Because in most leagues, Scott, you know the deal. We have 5 bench spots in most? So now I got to spend 1 on a backup quarterback, a true backup quarterback. And what if I want to take a legit backup to my quarterback? Take a Matt Ryan or a Dak Prescott, Goff, Mariota, whoever, because everyone in the league's taking a backup, which seems to be a trend all of a sudden in leagues the last couple of years, which I can't stand as well. So now I got 2 of my 5 bench spots tied up in quarterbacks. I understand I can get rid of Nick Foles after week 1 or after week 2 as soon as I feel comfortable. But still, going into a draft, I don't like doing that. I like to load up on as many wide receivers, as many running backs as I possibly can.
All right, Jalen Ramsey in GQ has this to say about Rams quarterback Jared Goff. He's average to above average. He reminds me of Garoppolo a little bit. Year 1, he wasn't good. He wasn't even good enough to earn his own starting role. Like, if you're the number 1 pick, you're expected to start now, period. He wasn't ready to do that. He wasn't able to do it. When he did get in, he didn't really do that good. But in his second year, they got a new offensive coordinator. Your offensive coordinator is just your brainiac. When we played them, it felt like the offensive coordinator was drawing up perfect plays, and then he was hitting the open man for what his team asked him to do. Yeah, he's good. And, I said this, I've said this about quarterbacks, like the great ones, you can surround them with anybody and they'll elevate their games. But, some other quarterbacks, you need to surround them with a good supporting cast to get the best out of them. And I think that's the case with Goff, who you ranked 16th in the Roto Experts exclusive edge fantasy football package on rotoexperts.com. I have ranked 14th under the King of Checkout for a special discount. And, to me, Goff just has all the right guys around him, to make the decisions. They make it easy for him. He's in arguably the NFC's best offense. So if you miss out on a top 12 quarterback, he's definitely a good streamer.
Goff, this team is stacked. They're stacked everywhere. So I wondered this with Goff. This is why I ranked him where I ranked him. Is he going to be this year's Troy Aikman? A very good quarterback, but one that's not asked to throw the ball over the field. Because they're going to win with the running game. The defense will lock down everybody. They don't need Goff to throw the ball 35, 40 times to put up 350 yards and 4 touchdown passes. Not that he can't, but they won't need him to do it. So they'll play a more conservative game. That's my concern with Goff. It's not him. It's more of a system that what they'll ask him for, what they'll use him for. Maybe Cooks doesn't quite gonna be that game breaker they're hoping for. Watkins really wasn't last year. Not that it slowed them down any. So those of them are once again. Sometimes when you're ranking, you're looking for an excuse to drop somebody a little bit, and that's my excuse with Goff. But as you said, as a streamer, or if you get screwed in a league, I get screwed in a RotoWire league where everybody and their mother. I was one of 2 people who didn't take a quarterback. It was round 10, and I passed on a quarterback in round 10 because there were like 6-7 guys I would take, so I wanted to take whatever player I took, running back or wide receiver. But coming around to me, all of a sudden, everybody took backups, and including Goff. I couldn't land Goff, couldn't land anybody. Prescott went, Mariota went, all these guys went. Ended up getting Alex Smith. It was almost heartbreaking to see that happen there, because this would be considered an industry league if all these guys went. So I wonder if that's a new trend we're seeing here, where a lot of people are taking backup quarterbacks.
Yeah, here's the thing, though, with what you say, though. It's not like they're going to be ground and pound. He's going to throw so many passes to the out of the backfield to Gurley. He's got Woods. He has Cooks. He has Cooper Kupp. So, you know, it's not like, you know, the offense isn't relying on him because they surround him with so much. I understand where you're coming from. But from a fantasy perspective, all he has to do is get the ball in his guy's hands a lot of times, and they make plays for him, which turns into fantasy points.
Yeah, but still, you know, he had that last year, too, only 3,800 yards. You know, I need more than that. 28 touchdowns is right up there with everybody else. It's not immense. It's not certainly not small. Like I said, it's not him. For what else is out there, that's the key here. For what else is out there, I think I can do better.
All right. This is what Jalen Ramsey has to say about Dak Prescott. He's good. He's all right. He's okay. I'll put it that way. Ezekiel Elliott runs that team, though. Everything runs around Zeke. We saw it last year when Zeke was out, though. Dak's plays really suffered. The Dallas receiving core is very, very questionable, but he does have Zeke back. You have him ranked number 20 in the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package on rotoexperts.com. Look, Dak, very crisp preseason opener. Nice touchdown pass to Michael Gallup early. You know, maybe he's, he can elevate his receivers a little bit here. But I don't see him as more than top 15 this year.
I got nothing really to add to
fantasy-wise.
That.
Fantasy-wise.
It's going to be hard to judge Dak this year because of the receiving core. Maybe Gallup does end up being legit number one eventually, but it's hard to see him being that right off the bat. Allen Hurns, Cole Beasley, Terrence Williams. This team is all about Ezekiel Elliott. And for Dallas to get to where they want to go, which is a playoff spot, Dak's going to have to prove with this receiving core that they can get that eighth man out of the box. Because if I'm a defensive coordinator, it's eight men in the box until Dak proves to me that with one of these receivers that they can beat me over the top. They can beat me for big, long chunks of yardage. And I don't know if that's going to happen.
844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. Got any fantasy football questions? Want to comment on Jalen Ramsey or talk about any of the quarterbacks we want or any of your fantasy questions? Give us a call. They asked Jalen Ramsey in GQ, what about Kirk Cousins? I think he's good. I think he's a winner. He's a hell of a competitor. Coming off the play action, he's the best quarterback in the league. Play action passing, he's a hell of a quarterback. And with a healthy Dalvin Cook, who inside injuries on rotoexperts.com in our draft package, saying that Cook is close to 100% as the season approaches. You know, you have to like hearing that. You and I both have Cousins ranked eighth in our ranks on rotoexperts.com. And he looked really good connecting with Stephon Diggs in the preseason opener. And look, Diggs doesn't stay healthy, but there's still a lot of talent out there. I if you're going to miss out on one of those elite quarterbacks, I really like getting Cousins this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to like Cousins as far as fantasy is concerned. I think one thing that I like to look at, that defense is legit, Minnesota, which means they're going to shut down the other team. Going to be a lot of three and outs for the other team, which means not only will Minnesota get the ball back, but it should be in good field position. You know, he won't have to go 90 yards for a touchdown. He's got weapons everywhere. You got Diggs, you got Thielen, you got Root of a tight end, and you got Dalvin Cook running the ball here. The offensive line isn't the greatest. You know, it's not the worst, but it certainly has issues there. That's my only concern there. I'll take Cousins on my teams. I probably, you know, if I'm playing in 10 leagues, I wouldn't want him on 7 of my teams, but I wouldn't want him on 2-3. I'm fairly confident he'll get the job done.
All right, Ramsey goes on to say about some of these other quarterbacks. He talks about Derek Carr. He said, I think he's good. You know, and left it at that. I guess you consider that a compliment, you know, coming from Jalen Ramsey, the way he rips some of these other quarterbacks. You have Derek Carr as 22nd. Obviously, that's a lot on health. We don't know with Amari Cooper, Jordy Nelson. They're really unknown factors. You know, Cooper has never lived up to the billing, really. Jordy Nelson didn't play well with Brett Hundley last year. It'd be a better situation for him this year as well. They also got Ryan Switzer for some depth. You're really low on Carr.
Death may be closer to the truth there. Yeah, I am low on Carr. And I'm not the lowest, I know, as far as that, because I'm looking at ESPN's rankings. They have him at 23rd. So, once again, he was bad last year. And that's not all on the offensive line or all on the running game. Didn't really take out to the second half of the season here. Or Cooper dropping pass after pass. Some of that's on him. Maybe Chucky can get the best out of him. He does seem to be the quarterback whisperer at times. But I don't think I was ever sold, Scott. Even though when he was good, that he was an upper echelon quarterback. You know, actually, I may be a little low on him. He's a low-end quarterback, too, for me. That's the bottom line here. I know I have him in one of my leagues, a dynasty league, where I draft him as a rookie. And thankfully, he's not my starter for that league. I just don't know if I see big things coming out of him. I think Oakland, in some ways, could be a train wreck this season.
Jalen Ramsey said, "It's not really Eli Manning. I think it's Odell Beckham. I won't say Eli's good. I'll say Odell's good." And Eli responded to that saying, "I'm not saying nothing about it." Who? When he said Jalen Ramsey, I guess you can tell Jalen Ramsey to kiss his two Super Bowl rings. You have Eli Manning 19th, sandwiched just between Mariota and Prescott. I think Eli Manning got a very bad rap in a bad situation last year, and he's not quite done. Even though he's 37, we've seen quarterbacks play, you know, still well when they're older than that. I think he could still make all the throws. The Giants have improved the offensive line around him. And, you know, he'll have support of a running game, which can set him up for play action. And Eli's always been pretty good at that. In a two-quarterback league, I think I'm comfortable having Eli Manning.
So am I. He's a quarterback, too, right now, that I wonder if he could have a big season. He has one more big season left in him. There's a lot of weapons there. Beckham, Shepard, Ingram, the running game of Barkley. You mentioned the offensive line's better. You know, I think of Eli can get out of the habit of seeing the rush, of feeling the rush, of stepping into his throws more, not throwing backpedaling off his back foot because he doesn't want to get hit. You know, I went with 37-year-old quarterbacks, or any quarterback that's been up there, you know, they don't want to get hit no more. they just don't. So he has to get out of that habit. I do wonder if he has one more big season left. I do love the offensive weapons he has around him.
About Russell Wilson, he said, "I think Russell Wilson is good. I think he's just a really good leader, too." You have Wilson as your number two quarterback. You have the talk that Chris Carson is now going to be the bell cow, so according to published reports, because this injury to Rashad Penny kind of stunts his development. You know, Penny is the guy, though, I think they want to use to really strike more offensive balance. You know, but could be more of the same for Russell Wilson early in the season. You know, he's been a top 5 to 8 fantasy quarterback for most of his career. He was 8th in his rookie season and then pretty much top 5 the rest of the way because he's a dual threat. And as Corey Parson points out on rotoexperts.com this morning in his fantasy executive desk blog, he's seeing Wilson because people are starting to wait on quarterbacks in fantasy drafts, not just the experts now, but mainstream. You see Wilson going like the 8th, 9th round, and that is tremendous value.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm one of those who preaches wait for quarterbacks. And sometimes people means that you'll never have an Aaron Rodgers on your team. Well, that's not true. I won't take Aaron Rodgers in round 3 or round 4. Where he's going. But he's available in round 6. Now the value is there. I'll take Aaron Rodgers in round 6. You said Russell Wilson. He's there in round 8. I'm going to grab Russell Wilson. Yes, in most leagues, I'm going to wait until round 10, 11 to take a quarterback. Most leagues. But if the top ones are available, if everyone's doing the same thing, then I'll have the top quarterbacks because the value is there in round 6 for Rodgers, round 8. Round 8 for Brady. You know, Deshaun Watson, same thing. I'll take that shot. I'm just not, I don't want to spend a 4th-round pick on Rodgers. You know, a 5th or a 6th on Russell Wilson or Brady. I don't want to do that. At those draft rounds, I want to take my top running backs, you know, that are still there. I want to load up on my depth, get my flex players there. I know I can wait on a quarterback and still be happy with a Cousins in round 10 or wherever it might be, Andrew Luck in round 11. I'll take that chance there. But like I said, if everyone's doing the same thing, which we are, you're right, we are seeing now, well, then I'll have some shares of Aaron Rodgers because the value will be there in round 6, or God forbid, round 7.
You know, I was watching a celebrity draft on television the other night, and sometimes those things are worth watching if you're, you know, if you want to see what people in your league might want to do. Well, us experts, we laugh at it, but, you know, sometimes it tells you what people in a regular mainstream home league might do. And Russell Wilson was about the eighth or ninth quarterback off the board. People were taking guys like Drew Brees and Marcus Mariota out of him. And finally, like, he was like the seventh to ninth quarterback taken. I said to myself, I said, wow, that's tremendous value.
You think?
It can happen in some mainstream leagues.
It could. It's going to be a rarity, but it could. I mean, Wilson, he may not be number two on everyone's list, but he's certainly top five on an overwhelming majority. So I don't see it. Mariota's nowhere near close, but you're right. I mean, sometimes people hear names. Drew Brees is a name now. He's not the quarterback he used to be. He's still very good. Still a quarterback one, but he's not the 5,000-yard Drew Brees. Because, hey, they don't ask him to do that anymore. With that defense in the running game, he's not going to put the ball 40 times a game. But I think I watched that same celebrity draft as you, and it was good for laughs, you know, but for fantasy purposes.
But nobody took really a defense in, like, the eighth round, which, I was
I don't think they took a defense
with.
At all, or a kicker in that league.
Yeah, because people were starting to learn, you know.
That was the four-hour slowest mock draft ever.
Yeah, look, not everybody's a neophyte like, say, Craig Carton. You know, probably can't draft effectively, like, after the third round. Probably going to need some help, and I know Craig's going to hear this. You know, Craig likes to claim that I'm a nobody, but yet, you know, like he listens to what I say, and then I'll talk about me for the third of the show, which I think is very funny. More with Jalen Ramsey now, talking about Ben Roethlisberger. He says, I think he's decent at best. It's not Big Ben, it's Antonio Brown. Big Ben slings the ball a lot of the time. He just slings it, his receivers go get it. He has a strong arm, but he ate all that. I played him twice last year, and he really disappointed me. He'll be in the Hall of Fame and all of that, but he wasn't too impressed with him. But, look, that's good enough fantasy-wise if he's just going to sling it. And, you know, this year with having Juju Smith-Schuster for another year and James Washington, you have him ranked number 11th. I probably wouldn't take him over Phillip Rivers and maybe even Jimmy Garoppolo. The thing with Roethlisberger, though, is the inconsistency drives you crazy. Some reporter asked him about it during camp, about the home road splits. He goes, they don't matter to me. It's like, you know, as long as the game is on earth, you know, the size of the football field is still the same.
I might have gone a different direction with Ben as far as that comeback. As long as you win the game, who cares? Okay, that I think that's a little better for me rather than on earth. I mean, well, I can't stand him. I hate Roethlisberger as a person.
Really?
As a fantasy quarterback. Yeah. He's I don't want to disparage the man, but I think he's not the greatest human being on the planet. Let's put it that way. And as far as if even past that, just the things he does about like he's got the concussion now. He's going to milk us for all it's worth. It drove me insane where he got mad that they drafted Mason Rudolph, his backup, even though he's been threatening to retire for back-to-back off seasons. What did you think the team was going to do? Not have another quarterback there in case you do decide to leave? You know, so that just makes me angry. And he seems to be a very person who loves the limelight, loves to say things just to get his name out there. So, I don't know, he just annoys me. But that being said, I put that all aside for fantasy fandom. And if I can get him around 11, round 12, I am more than happy to do it. But it is in the back of my mind, Scott. If I have Ben, should I automatically be taking another quarterback this way I can bench him on certain road games because of those splits that weren't as pronounced last season, but they're still there. But I also wonder this. If Todd Haley, offensive coordinator, not there anymore. He's in Cleveland. Does that change this? Maybe it wasn't Ben. Maybe it's the offensive coordinator who was, you know, not being as wide open on the road. So I wonder that as well.
844-843-6879. The number to call. Also, hit us up at FNTSY Radio on Twitter. We're taking Jalen Ramsey, what he said yesterday, and spinning it for fantasy purposes, too. He says, I'm a fan of Drew Brees. I think Drew Brees is really good even at this age. He still runs everything. I don't know. When did Drew Brees run? That I don't remember.
Well, by runs, I think he means runs the offense.
Okay. You have him 7th. I think that's a little high when you consider how much this team has changed over the last year and a half. And they really base more on the run and defense. But, you know, Brees doesn't put up the kind of numbers anymore that he used to. I'd probably rather threat of Kirk Cousins, who you rank behind him, and Matthew Stafford, who I think will take another fantasy step forward this year And I certainly put Phillip Rivers ahead of him.
Wow, so you got Phillip Rivers in your top six?
I got Phillip Rivers. Yeah, he's right inside. I don't have – I have Breeze ranked 12th.
Oh, okay. Well, you're just very low on him, which is fine. I don't, it doesn't bother
me. He's a QB1 to me, but, you know, he's certainly not what he used to, and I think a lot of fantasy players have trouble, like, forgetting about what he used to be and what this team used to be is because it's what they're not anymore.
Ranking him 12 seems to be an awful reaction to 23 touchdowns last year. Still threw with 40 plus 4,300 yards, just only 23 touchdowns.
Which yeah, I didn't rank him 18.
From the 37, which is a far cry from the 37, 32, 33, 39. That 23 touchdowns is not going to happen again. Neither is 37, mind you, but he'll be up there at 28, 29. And the 4,400 yards is more than enough for me to put up there at top seven. Does he have the upside of some of the other quarterbacks? That's really the argument there. And maybe not, because I don't expect that offense to change from last year all that much. I think it's going to be, you know, Kamara running the ball, Ingram when he gets back there. The defense is going to play well enough. They're not going to want to put Breeze. Like I said, they're not going to need to throw the ball 40, 45 times. They're just not. They're not going to play that kind of game anymore. But people are either getting too caught up in the 23 touchdowns.
Yeah, I don't think I'm too caught up because I think this team is just different than it used to be. You know, I probably don't see more than 27 touchdown passes from him this year. You know, Kamara's like and Ingram, you know, they'll still run the ball when Ingram's out. It's just, you know, this team is based on defense. It's more of a winning team now where they've changed their outlook and they don't feel like they have to rely on the quarterback so much. Some of these teams, you know, when they start winning, the quarterbacks, you know, they don't have to put up spectacular fantasy numbers anymore. DailyRoto.com is putting more than $25,000 on the line for its subscribers this NFL season, entering paid contests on FanDuel and bringing you along for the free roll. Have the chance to win big this year along Sports Grid CEO Jeremy Stein, one of the only men to have won two separate $1 million prizes. Each week, we'll select lucky subscribers to sweat with us and split 50% of the profits. No profits that week? No worries. Your name will get tossed back into the hat the following week. Head to dailyroto.com/sweat. That's dailyroto.com/sweat and learn how to get in on the action and your share of $25,000 in action. That's dailyroto.com/sweat. And keep sweating with us for another hour here on the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We'll talk about some other quarterbacks that Jalen Ramsey talked about. What do we think of them fantasy-wise? Do we agree with him, both from yearly and dynasty perspectives? That'll come up next, and we'll also get a look at three preseason games tonight. National television, the New York Jets and the Washington Redskins at 8 p.m. Eastern tonight. So lots more fantasy football-wise to talk about. And call in any time at 844-843-6879.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Good morning,
Roto Experts.
To the end zone.
The mark of fantasy excellence.
You have to be careful about who you think is stepping forward on the depth chart.
It's time for a touchdown.
You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts in the Morning on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
George, now you know who this is, right?
Yeah, it's Jimmy.
Let me stand next to you and fire. Yeah.
Yeah. Hard not Jimmy. To know who Jimmy Hendrix is.
Yeah. I don't think Corey knows who he is. But hey, Jimmy, what's happening? Get your season ticket to Fantasy Glory now with the 2018 Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. It's not such a draft kit. It's a full season package that takes you from draft day the championship week, and it features in-depth analysis from some of your favorite FNTSY Sports Radio experts. Go to rotoexperts.com and use code WINNER to get 10% off on the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Set aside a spot on the mantle for that 2018 championship trophy. Get George Kurtz's IDP ranks for your season right now. Talk a little bit about what Jalen Ramsey is saying about these quarterbacks, and what do we think about them in fantasy? Do we agree? And he says, Andrew Luck, I really don't think he's that good. Him and T.Y. Hilton had a connection in the past that made him stand out a little bit more, but I don't think he's good. Well, look, the fantasy numbers are going to be there if he's healthy. You have him ranked number 10, solid preseason opener at Seattle for Andrew Luck. I still don't think this team is that good overall. They've improved the offensive line. They drafted two linemen early. But outside T.Y. Hilton and Jack Doyle, who caught 80 balls last year from Jacoby Brissett, there's not a lot, although I do like Nyheim Hines in the passing game. A lot as a sleeper. This is a bad defense. I think they are clearly the third-best team in this division. But look, Andrew Luck with that defense, I think they're going to be in some shootouts. He might have to throw a lot and really test that arm out, you know, coming back from this injury.
Yeah, and if that scares people, I understand it. Because I think everything you said, I think is correct. I can't really nitpick anything there. I think they are going to be in shootouts. They are going to have him throw 35, 40 times a game, which means not only does the shoulder get tested, but so does the body. Because will he learn from past mistakes of taking unnecessary hits? You know, the line is better. It's still not, I don't even know how to call it average yet. It's just better than what it used to be. He's only got Doyle and Hilton to throw to. I'm a little surprised. I shouldn't say I'm surprised. But I was wondering if this would be a spot where Dez would end up. Because, once again, nobody else is there. But, once again, I think Dez's reputation, true or not, is hurting him here. It's hurting him with quite a few teams, not wanting to bring him in, not wanting to upset that locker room. So, I think the I like Luck. I do. I love the idea that he's going to throw the ball. But I am somewhat concerned, Scott, that that could lead, either to his shoulder not being what we think it is, or other injuries, because he's going to get hit.
Ryan Tannehill, Jalen Ramsey says, I don't know much about him. I haven't heard the greatest of stuff about him, but I don't know him personally, so I can't tell you. You know, I've watched Tannehill enough to know that that he was Alex Smith's Southeast before 2017. I guess without winning the games, you know, I'm not really a fan of Ryan Tannehill whatsoever in fantasy. You have him ranked 28th. As a fantasy quarterback, the Dolphins have not had a good quarterback since Dan Marino retired, really. And the Marino jinx continues is what I call it. Devontae Parker has had a very bad preseason. You know, you wonder who he's going to throw to. Danny Amendola can't stay healthy. Albert Wilson is nothing to look at. I might be streaming defenses against the Dolphins this year.
Yeah, I think the Dolphins ran for a bad season. You know, I don't think it's going to work out there. I think it's, I'm going to choose my words carefully, but I wouldn't have been shocked if Miami moved on from Tannehill. The salary cap is getting lesser and lesser, his hit year after year here, where they can move on here. But maybe a quarterback in the draft didn't quite fall to them, or the guy they wanted didn't fall to them. I don't think he's the answer there. Whether it's the Marino curse or not, I don't think he's the answer there. He's probably someone Ramsey should have trashed, yet he didn't. He doesn't know him. Well, I guess that gives Ramsey some respect, right? He's not just trashing people he's never faced.
Yeah, and, you know, last year, Tannehill was out for the entire season, too.
Yeah, and what makes you wonder if he can even stay. That team, they're in a lot of trouble there.
Philip Rivers, he says, I think he's pretty good. You can really win a fantasy league with Philip Rivers, but I think people often overlook him. We have a poll going on right now on FNTSY Radio. Who's the most underrated quarterback in fantasy football? Philip Rivers right now winning with 53%. I don't understand how this guy goes in the 12th round.
Yeah, I think Rivers, once again, I think it's more his personality. People don't like the way he talks sometimes, and he's a little brash. Maybe they don't like his throwing motion, where sling it.
Or the fact that he's made the AFC Championship once and lost.
Yeah, which in my mind means nothing for fantasy. I don't care if you make the AFC Championship fantasy. That's not counting
anyway. No, don't care, but I'm saying people may keep that in mind.
No, I don't think that's a problem at all. You know, they already knows that you're not counting playoffs. So the fact that he doesn't make a championship game doesn't mean anything.
Maybe it's because Phillip Rivers is never like in the top three or the top four. He's consistently 8 to 10.
Right.
That's not enough for a lot of people.
I guess they don't like the upside. Because as you said, you know where I like that because I like drafting people who I know where they're going to be when I draft them. And Rivers is probably going to be around that 8 to 10 range, which is fine. You can easily win with that, but the upside may be limited there. But that being said, this is a really good Chargers team. And what I said earlier about Minnesota, it's another team. Very good defense. Should put the offense in good field position more often than not. Rivers, once again, if you tell me, Scott, that I have Rivers on my team, I don't really have an issue with it. I'll take that run.
All right. He asked the GQ interviewer, what's the Atlanta quarterback's name? The interview says Matt Ryan. He says, I think Matt Ryan's overrated. You can't tell me you win MVP 2 years ago. Then last year you're a complete bust and you still have Julio Jones. There's no way that should ever happen. I don't care. You know what that tells me? That tells me that Shanahan left, went to the 49ers, got Garoppolo, made Garoppolo this big thing, and now Garoppolo's a big name, and now Matt Ryan has this bad year, all right? Well, was it really you or was it your coach? He was doing what was asked of him, and it was making him look really, really good. And we have to remember the season before his MVP year, Ryan was not very good either. You have to be careful with him. You never know what Matt Ryan's going to give you fantasy-wise. Now, look at all the tools that he's got surrounding him this year. They added Calvin Ridley as well, and I think Austin Hooper's going to stay another step forward. So I think right where about you have Matt Ryan is fair. You have him as number 13, but I probably take Jimmy Garoppolo ahead of him for sure, who you have at 14.
Yeah, Ryan's a weird kind of thing. I mean, Rams should know one thing. You change coordinators, things are going to hurt. I mean, he should know that. That's going to be part of the problem there. 20 touchdowns last year, only 4,100 yards passing. The 4,100 yards is the lowest he's had since 2010. The 20 touchdowns, lowest since he had since 2008. So it was a poor year last year. And it can't all be blamed on the change of offense coordinator, although I do think part of that is. The problem with Ryan is, outside of 2016 and 2012, he's never thrown 30-plus touchdown passes. Generally, he's in that 26 to 28 range. You know, and the yardage is fine. It's generally on 4,500. You'll take that. But the upside does seem to be limited. You need to hit one of those big years. And he's only had two big years in 10 seasons. You know, that's why I can't put him as a quarterback one. I think he will have a better year this year. That's not saying much. I don't think he'll do much worse than he did last year. I love the addition of Calvin Ridley. I think that's good for the offense. Freeman and Coleman, legit running game. The only thing you really don't have there on offense is a true tight end one. You know, but you could survive with Hooper there. I said I can't take him as a quarterback one, Scott, but in a super flex or a quarterback two, if he two quarterback league, if he's my second quarterback, I'm ecstatic.
Yeah, I would certainly agree with that. 844-843-6879. It's 844-843-6879. If you have any opinions on Jalen Ramsey, any of these quarterbacks that he talked about from a fantasy perspective, let us know. Or if you just have a question about, you know, who you want to take in the first round. You can also check out the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package on rotoexperts.com. Enter the King at checkout for a special discount. Check out my first round guide. I tell you what to do at every single pick. Boy, Jalen Ramsey really ripped into rookie quarterback Josh Allen from the Buffalo Bills, saying that he's trash and it was a stupid pick. But, you know, watching him last week, though, you know, he made some really exciting throws, nearly hit two deep balls. And, you know, while there still is a learning curve in terms of the decision-making, I don't know if I feel as bad about Josh Allen as negatively as Jalen Ramsey does.
Did Josh Allen steal his Halloween candy or something? I mean, I thought that was uncalled for. For a rookie quarterback who's never done anything, of course he's never done anything in the NFL, hasn't played yet. Is it going to be a bad season this year? More than likely, Buffalo's going to have a bad season this year. So that's the one thing that sort of caught me off guard here. What does he have against him? I mean, that seemed to be a little personal there.
Yeah, he says he's never played well against big schools, et cetera. You know, that he just, he said it was basically a stupid pick. He said, he really went off, and then they interviewed Josh Allen, and that's what he said. what he thought about what Jalen Ramsey said. He says, none of my team, I don't care. He said, I think Josh Allen is trash. I don't care what nobody say. He's trash, and it's going to show, too. That's a stupid draft pick to me. We play them this year, and I'm excited as hell. I hope he's their starting quarterback. He said he never beat a big school. If you look at his game against big schools, it was always a hell of a lot of interceptions, hell of a lot of turnovers. Big arm, supposedly. I don't see it personally. He does fit that mold, big, tall quarterback. You know, and they do play each other in Week 12 here. But I don't think Josh Allen's going to be able to do much about it in his first year.
No, certainly not. I don't think Ramsey should worry about who's ever quarterback for Buffalo. It'll be a good game for Ramsey and Jacksonville. That's going to be an ugly one there. As I said, I just don't see the where the hatred comes against Allen. It did seem to be a little personal to me. That's the one thing, out of all the quarterbacks that he went after, and he went after pretty much everyone, it's the one that was like, oh, wow, surprised that he would trash a rookie who's never faced him, never done anything. I don't know, maybe it's the college he came out of.
Yeah, Steve G asked us on Twitter, and you can ask us questions on Twitter on @FNTSYRadio. Since you're talking about Atlanta, you guys worried at all about Devonta Freeman and his lack of playing this preseason? Not at all. I was in Atlanta in the Jets last week. They held him out. You know, there's a lot of guys that, you know, don't play in the first preseason game. They have to be a little bit careful about. I'm not worried about Freeman because he's not going to play in the preseason. I worry about Freeman because, you know, he runs very big for a smaller back. He's suffered concussions. He's had some injuries here. And, you know, one hit, and who knows, could he miss another 4 to 6 weeks or a half a season here? That's what worries me about Devonta Freeman.
Oh, 100% correct. I mean, my God. I don't care. He never plays in the preseason. If we don't see him again until week one, the problem is going to be he has a concussion history. He's a running back. No matter what the NFL rules are going to state, he's going to lead with his head a lot, going to get hit in the head a lot. It's going to be very hard for me to believe, Scott, that he plays 16 games. He's that guy who the over-under is around 12. Is he going to be around for my fantasy playoffs? Now, if I draft Freeman around 3, does this mean I have to get Tevin Coleman around 7? So I know I have one running back on this team. And I don't like doing that because I'm not a big fan of having to go, you know, spend 2 draft picks for one spot, especially 2 top 8 picks, top 7 picks. So that's my issue here. I said I would be shocked if Freeman plays 16 games.
Yeah, that's why you'd be concerned about him. That's why I'm not drafting him in like the middle of the second round. I've been hearing people get excited. They'll call me up in the middle of a slow draft or hit me up in the Slack chat on rotoexperts.com in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Pack and say, oh, Freeman's still there in the beginning of the second round. I'm like, pass. You know, there's other running backs I'd rather have.
Yeah, being in the second round, no, thank you. I mean, listen, I don't have any shares yet, but I'll look at Freeman in round 3. You know, by then, the running backs are just toast. You know, but then it's around then where I may have no choice. I'm not actively looking to draft him. Not looking to stay away either, but there are many other running backs. I mean, you look at the list here. I'll take Jordan Howard over him. You know, once again, I like Jordan Howard this year, even though he killed me last year. But I like the situation he's in Chicago. I'm not worried about Tariq Cohen all that much. Joe Mixon, McKinnon, I probably would take both over Freeman as well. Although McKinnon, I'm probably a little bit more worried about now because of the injury. But Joe Mixon, I'll take. I think I drove a line at about Alex Collins. Collins, Drake, Lamar Miller, Jay Ajayi. I would take Freeman over all those guys.
Yeah, I like Tariq Cohen a lot this year to really take a big step forward. I think in PPR leagues, I think Matt Nagy is going to make the most out of that. Jalen Ramsey says, I would have picked Lamar Jackson earlier than 32. I think he's going to do a good job, especially with the Baltimore Ravens offense coordinator. He's talking about Marty Morningwig. He likes running quarterbacks, likes that read option, and being honest about it, Flacco sucks. I played him 2 years in a row. He sucks. Flacco's been hearing that. He's had a better preseason. Lamar Jackson has been uneven this preseason. You know, he kind of looks like Michael Vick, you know, when he runs the way he takes off sideways and, you know, kind of like, you know, has that corner deke and that quick first step. But kind of looks like Michael Vick, too, in that he's very up and down in terms of being a pure passer. And that was the problem with Michael Vick, you know, when Dane Martinez is here and saying he's going to be the next Michael Vick. you know, that's great. I said maybe for fantasy purposes, but we were never able to rely on Vic week to week anyway. If he can be better than Michael Vick, you know, that's what I want to see with Lamar Jackson. But the way he's looked in the preseason throughout two games, I see Flacco probably opening the year as a starter.
I agree. I think Jackson may have had a slight chance to start with a monster preseason, but he has a lot a ways to go as far as a quarterback. Flacco, they owe him no more guaranteed money. So if Lamar Jackson, I think Baltimore's not going to be a play. I don't think they're going to be a playoff team this year. So as soon as they start to fall out of it, that's where you start to look at Jackson. But I think it'll be in the second half of the season, after week 8, after week 9, where they'll want to sort of get out the kinks this year. Jackson can sort of start fresh next season. It's also a weird year for Baltimore because they have brand new receiving core. I mean, how often do we see this? They have a brand new receiving core. Crabtree, John Brown, Willie Snead, you know, even the tight end, Aiden Hurst. You know, so it's a lot of moving parts here. But I think Lamar Jackson is by certainly the man of the future here. And this is when I would probably agree with Jalen Ramsey on. You know, Joe Flacco does suck.
Yeah, I think it's a widespread feeling here. It's just he was willing to voice it.
Yeah, I don't think this is any shock throughout the NFL industry. Flacco, I think even when he was, even when he doesn't suck, he was an average. You know, and now his play has gone down. Maybe he plays better this year because he sort of has nothing to lose now. He lets it loose. He knows he's going to be gone anyway. You know, so what do you have to lose here? He's instead of gone in week 12, you're gone in week 8. You know, so maybe that forced him to play a little better. Maybe the receiving core helps out a little bit. But in my mind, I know he won a Super Bowl, but I don't think he was ever really – I don't think he was ever anywhere near an upper echelon NFL quarterback, certainly not an upper echelon fantasy one.
In some other news, according to Miami Herald, the Dolphins have no plans to deal DeVante Parker, maybe because nobody wants him. You know, DeVante Parker is one of those receivers who's at a crossroads this year. You know, we talk about guys like him and, you know, to even bigger extent, like a Laquon Treadwell, like – you know, are these guys, you know, just set to become big busts, et cetera? Because we've never seen Parker do more than flash, you know, a few downfield catches last year. There was a lot of talk about DeVante Parker last year. And, you know, I saw him going as early as maybe the fourth round in some drafts. But, you know, some fantasy analysts say talent always wins out. Talent doesn't always win out because Parker has shown us nothing yet. And, you know, he has a quarterback, you know, that really doesn't make a lot of big plays either. You know, it's Miami, other than Kenyon Drake, you know, who one Dolphins beat writer says probably going to lead the team in receiving. Miami's a fantasy wasteland.
You'll get no argument from me. You know, and Parker's already got the broken right middle finger, so he can't catch right now. And, of course, they could say, because they're going to want a high pick for him, and they're not going to get that. No one's going to give you a first, second, third-round pick for Parker, so it's just not going to happen here. Tannehill has always had a problem throwing the deep ball and connecting with his receivers. Outside of his stills. He seems like he can hit stills, but everything else hasn't really clicked there. Now, like I said, I'll draft Drake, you know, but even that, you know, Frank Gore's there. I don't think they're going to forget about him. You know, I think Gore's going to get I don't think he's going to be a pure backup there. I think they're going to use him somewhat. So maybe it's 8 touches a game. That takes away a couple of touches from Drake there. So I don't like the Miami. The defense isn't as good as it used to be. So the offense is not going to have the ball as much anyway. So no, I'm staying away from Miami. I don't think I'll have any Miami players on my team. One person I've heard mentioned in deep leagues is Kalen Ballage. If you want to take a shot at somebody around 14, you know, that people are really playing up a lot, and he could end up being someone there. I won't go that direction, but his is a name at running back that I have heard quite a bit.
In the deep sleepers column from Brandon C. Williams on rotoexperts.com, in the exclusive Edge package, enter the king at checkout for a special discount. Brandon C. Williams talks about Kalen Ballage as a deep sleeper. He does have a deep sleepers column in the package, but Kalen Ballage is off to a very bad start in camp. In the first preseason game, he fumbled, and he got thrown out of the huddle the other day by Tannehill for missing an assignment. So, look, it's early, but, you know, he's also has Frank Gore ahead of him on the depth chart, and, you know, they're treating Gore with a lot of respect. When the Dolphins' first depth chart came out, they had Frank Gore listed right aside Kenyon Drake. I think – I think that was more ceremonial and respectful than anything, though, because here this guy is coming home at the end of a long and illustrious career.
Yeah, I mean, of course, a Hall of Famer, no doubt. And I agree. You know, if you're listening to him as a 1-1A at one point with Drake, that was just to be pay homage to the veteran. And I don't really have an issue with that, although I might find it a little strange that, you know, he has never played with Miami before. You know, why do you care so much to pay homage to him? But whatever, it's fine. Drake is the guy you want there. But I don't think he's going to be the pure bell cow back where he's going to, you know, it's, every touch is going through him. But outside of him, I'm not touching anybody. I'm not taking Tannehill in a two-quarterback league. Maybe as a third quarterback, sure. But I'm not. There's nobody on this team I want starting for me. I mean, just nobody. Mike Gesicki, talk to me next year, a year after that.
I might want to have Drake as my RB, too. Because even if they get behind in games, they're going to throw to him out of the backfield. I think he's going to be very busy.
Yeah, I have no problem with Drake. So he's the one guy I don't mind having a starter there. RB2 is fine. I just don't think he's going to be he might not be quite the guy we think as far as some other RB2s, but you're right. They'll have to use him. But it may be more to the backfield than it is rushing the ball, because they're going to be trailing the second half of a lot of games.
And I think also, though, you know, something that maybe does work against Drake is I think this team is going to be one of the worst in the league. It's run defense. And you're really going to want to target opposing running backs against the Miami Dolphins. You know, they open up against Tennessee this year. Got to like Deion Lewis, maybe Isaiah Crowell in week two, Marshawn Lynch in week three, New England in week four, and then Cincinnati in week five. And I'm going to want Joe Mixon DFS-wise in week five.
Yeah, no Ndamukong Suh. You know, he's gone there. It's a bad team. It's just a bad team. And as much as Miami may not be able to run the ball in the second half because they'll be trailing, well, those teams that are beating them will run the ball a lot in the second half to kill the clock, you know, win the game and move on.
Yeah, and, you know, you look at this team, they're almost like the Marlins. They lost Pouncey. They lost Landry. and they lost Sue, like you said, and they didn't replace him.
Losing Landry was a little strange. I mean, they didn't lose Landry. They traded him. They didn't want to pay him, so they traded him to a team that would. Strange for a team that's lacking playmakers. You know, not that I would call Landry a playmaker, but still, he was your best receiver. Wasn't even close. And yet you moved on from him because you didn't want to pay him $15 million a year with $50 million guaranteed. Interesting choice there.
Certainly. With Jacksonville, you know, we've been talking a lot about Jalen Ramsey, but what about the offense? According to ESPN, DJ Chark, you know, big dynamic target, has been the most impressive receiver training camp. I think a lot of people assuming it's going to be Dante Moncrief and Marquise Lee, but, you know, Dede Westbrook is having a good camp too, and Chark is somebody else to watch. I don't think I'm sure how this receiving crew is going to shake out.
You know, that article in GQ makes you wonder what Jalen Ramsey would say about Blake Bortles. You know, his own quarterback, I don't think he'd be so kind. You know, so I think he'd have some choice words to say for Blake. And I'm at the hockey rink last night, Scott. I'm reffing it on. During the game, on the sideline, there's some guys. They're asking me questions. Last round of his fantasy league, this is what he told me anyway, he has a choice between Dede Westbrook and Alex Collins. And I'm shocked that Collins.
Alex Collins in the last pick?
Yeah.
What?
That's what I told him. I'm like, well, this is not even a thought process here. I like Westbrook. I think he has some upside. But Alex Collins, why is he available in the last round of your draft? This is what he told me during the – I mean, maybe it wasn't the last round. Maybe it was round nine, round – whatever it was. It didn't matter. Collins is an easy choice there. But that's not to say I don't like Westbrook. I do like him, once again, in normal leagues. Somewhere around round 12, round 13, upside guy there. But, you know, who's going to be the breakout guy? Is it going to be Chark, you just mentioned? Keelan Cole? You know, Marquise Lee is more of the stable guy. I don't have much faith in Dante Moncrief, but it could be him as well.
Going back to the Seattle running back situation, first Pete Carroll said that Rashad Penny was going to be ready for week one. And then Ian Rappaport reporting that Chris Carson right now is the Seahawks' bell cow running back, and the hand surgery for Penny could cost him a week or two. This will cost Penny important preseason time, you know, as he gets up to speed. LaDainian Tomlinson was making some good points about this on the NFL Network. When he's a rookie, you know, he wants to work with his linemen to see how quickly he should hit the hole. The linemen want to work with him to see, you know, what his patience level is, et cetera, you know, when running the ball. You know, there's a lot of fundamental things at the NFL level that Penny has to continue to get reps with that he won't. And, you know, this is going to knock him down a few pegs, you know, in a lot of people's rankings and probably, like, put him into round 5 or 6 in a lot of drafts.
Well, I think he might even go further than that, but that's also value. Yeah, it's also value because people are going to be thinking, oh, because what Rappaport said, oh, that means Carson's going to start 16 games. No, it means Carson probably starts the first 4 games at the very least. So maybe that play the long game. I have no problem playing fantasy football. I know it's only 13 weeks, but it's still a long season. You need to win these games at the end. And if I can get Penny at a discount because of this, I'll be thrilled. I think eventually he is the starting running back there. But yes, it may take until October now rather than September.
Yeah, you know, they did draft him in the first round. Like I always say, nothing's earned, nothing is handed to you under Pete Carroll. A guy could be drafted early or even acquired as a free agent, and somebody outplays him in camp. You know, that's what happens. The guy who plays better is, often may get the chance to start. That's why Carroll has that slogan of always compete. You know, in 2012, they acquired Matt Flynn to be their starting quarterback, but Russell Wilson played better in the preseason, and we never saw anything of Matt Flynn ever again. So that's one example of it. Carroll. Doug Baldwin was also undrafted and ended up being the number one wide receiver. All right. Enough Jalen Ramsey talks for now. Week 2 of the preseason is approaching. We'll look at some of the Thursday night games next here on the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire. Join us.
Back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Scott Engel and George Kurtz. Football is just around the corner, but we're still giving World Series tickets away on FNTSY Sports Radio Network. This time it's the winner of free DFS baseball contests. The contest is sponsored by DKMS, who are looking for your help in the fight against blood cancer. For many patients, a bone marrow transplant is the best chance for survival, while 30% of patients can find a matching donor in their family. 70%, nearly 14,000 each year, must rely on a benevolent stranger to step up and donate. You can find out how you can help the cause and win 2018 World Series tickets playing free daily fantasy baseball by going to dailyroto.com/DKMS. That's dailyroto.com/DKMS. Your tickets to the World Series and a blood cancer patient's ticket to life. Also, check out the closer report on rotoexperts.com from George Kurtz, who does that every week as well. George, looks like Ken Giles has 3 saves this week.
I mean, Giles, he had problems in big games, right? I know it's a lot of brought up that his ERA against the Yankees is horrific, and now he's in the American League East, but he's a closer. Bottom line, he's a closer. And most saves are valuable. And Giles is the man there. You know, he's going to get his, I would think, most, if not all, the save opportunities from here on out, which may not be a plethora in Toronto, but still, if you need saves, he's available. You're claiming him.
Yeah, and what do you make of the situation in Los Angeles right now? Nobody knows who the closer is. Everybody gets an opportunity. They blew it. You thought Ross Stripling might get one of the next chances, but he just hit the DL, and maybe it might be Kenta Maeda.
I think Maeda has to be the next guy, right? They just sent him to the bullpen. Now, he did come up for starts, so he probably is not. He should be available. You would think he's available to pitch tonight. If not tonight, then tomorrow. So I think he is going to be the closer there. But they say Jansen, he's hoping to return next week. Now, that may be optimistic, but it lets you know that maybe that month timeline not quite going to come through and that he will be able to return sooner. But I think Maeda is next man up, yes.
All right. More, check out the closer report on rotoexperts.com for George Kurtz as you head down the fantasy baseball stretch. We're certainly not ignoring your needs whatsoever. And Fantasy Baseball Weekly Planner for Brandon C. Williams as well. Gives you two turn pitchers, waiver wire pickups, everything that you need. Because if you're out of it in the league right now, though, I think if you want to return next year, you have to play for pride, George.
Well, let me ask you a question, Scott. Okay, you're out of it in the league, and there's no advantage to moving up. You're in ninth, whatever, and there's no advantage to moving up to eighth. And you know you're not getting any further than that. Do you still make roster moves, or do you say, you know what, I'll set my roster, I'll do everything, but I'm not going to take away players from teams that are in the hunt?
You know what, though? I don't want to finish in 10th, and I don't want to finish in 13th or 14th or less, so I'll still make moves. Let's get back to football, though, here. Back to football. That's what they say at this time of year. 7:30 p.m. Eastern tonight, the Eagles against the Patriots. We're not going to see Carson Wentz, but what I'm very interested to see, and you can check out my Associated Press column on Sleepers, I'm very interested to see Mac Hollins. He's a big, fast target. The Eagles don't have a lot of depth and wide receiver, especially with Alshon Jeffrey hurting. I think Mac Hollins has some sleeper potential. He flashed last preseason as well.
Yeah, I've got him in my deep Dynasty League. I've got Mac Hollins, drafted him last season, so I wouldn't mind a breakout year for him. The only problem with that is I also have Alshon Jeffrey and Aguilar in that league, so they'll just kind of cannibalize each other. Are you a little worried about this passing game? And once again, Wentz not playing much in the preseason, if any. Jeffrey on the PUP. Aguilar's banged up. Even Wallace was banged up. He's back now. They don't have a lot of their parts playing right now other than Zach Ertz.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about the passing game. You have Ertz, you have Aguilar. You'll have Darren Sproles or maybe somebody else like Danelle Pumphrey catching passes out of the backfield. And, Carson Wentz, when he comes back, I think he makes his receivers better. And Hollins will step forward, I think. They'll eventually get Jeffrey back. So I'm not too worried about them.
Yeah, I think in the end, I'm not all that worried either. It's a veteran team. This team, another team that's just stacked, that has backups everywhere. Think about it. I mean, they can afford, not that you want an injury, but they can afford an injury or two at most positions, and they'll be okay. I mean, they have backup running backs. They have backup quarterbacks, wide receivers, even tight end. They were able to draft Dallas Goedert. So good for them. This team is really stacked.
Is Darren Sproles going to have any fantasy value coming off of a major leg injury at age 35? Can he still be PPR relevant?
I think he's fantasy annoying. And what I mean by that is, boy, if he wasn't there, I really would add Corey Clement to a lot more of my teams. Yeah, but now he's there. Is he just going to be around enough to catch enough third down balls to make Clement, not, he's not getting those touches, and I like Corey Clement a lot. Ajayi's going to be the number one back there, but not your true number one, because I think they're all going to play, Scott. That's the bottom line. They're all going to play, and I don't think that's good for any of them.
Far as the Patriots go, I don't know how much you see any of the starters there. Not for very long, I would figure. Jeremy Hill's had a good preseason. They said he's come to camp in much better condition. Had a good preseason opener. And, it's always unique in New England in terms of, them having a running back by committee. Could Jeremy Hill emerge as the goal line runner and maybe have an outside shot at some fantasy value?
Well, here's the problem. You got Sony Michel, Rex Burkhead, James White, Mike Gillisley, Jeremy Hill, Brandon Bolden. They have Ralph Webb, too, but I doubt he makes the team.
Well, those last three, I don't think they're figuring in. Gillisley is like he's on the roster bubble, and Bolden's like a special teams player.
All right, so can I continue now?
No.
What do you think? All right, so Michelle, Burkett, White, Gillisley, Hill, Bolden. Bill Belichick is not carrying six. I'm not so sure he's carrying five. That means two of these guys have to go. Gillislee seems to be in the doghouse, and I think Bolden could be that guy. Oh, I think Bolden and Hill it comes down to. And if Bolden's more of a special teams guy,
they're never going to get rid of Bolden. Never.
Then Hill's probably on the outside looking in. You know, he may be playing for another team. Because you got Michelle, Burkhead, White, Bolden. You're saying they're on the team. That's a roster bubble. That's a roster crunch to keep five running backs, especially for Jeremy Hill, who's not a special teams player. So that's my issue here. I'm not so sure he makes this team.
Is Bolden even a running back, though? He never carries the ball. It's, you know, it's like it says designation running back on the roster, but, you know, never touches the ball.
I agree, but that's where his position is. When you listen to his wide receiver, you have the same problem in any other position.
What I'm saying is maybe they would carry five running backs because four of them isn't even really – one of them isn't really a running back.
Yeah, but you need him to play a spot. He's going to back up some way. If you're going to call him a wide receiver, you have the same roster crunch there. So I'm not so sure Jeremy Hill makes this team because of that reason. And it's not really because he's playing badly. He is playing well, but I wonder if he's really playing for another team.
Yeah, that Webb kid looked real good last week, but I don't think he's going to make the ball club. The Steelers are at the Packers at 8 p.m. Ben Roethlisberger in the concussion protocol. How much are you worried about Ben? You know, that's, I think this is the third concussion of his career.
Well, you have to worry about it. And Arthur has had more than three as well. Back then, they really didn't report him as much. Now he's not a running back, so theoretically he's not going to get hit. You know, we saw this last year. If you remember, Scott, during some of these games, people were questioning why no quarterback sneaks on, you know, fourth and whatever inches. And this is the reason why, because they were protecting his head. You know, so Pittsburgh's well aware of this, because I remember clearly people complaining on my Twitter, you know, why aren't they sneaking the ball there? He's so large, he'll get it easily. This is the reason why. You know, they didn't want him to take a chance on a concussion. So I think it is there. That being said, once again, he's in that quarterback 10 to 14 range. If this is enough to keep you from drafting him, fine. Doesn't bother me. You want to take whatever. Jared Goff over him, Trubisky. Well, probably not Trubisky. But, you know, Garoppolo, Rivers, old guys in that are going in that range. If this is enough to knock him out for you, I don't have an issue with that whatsoever.
Juju Smith-Schuster caught a 71-yard touchdown pass in the preseason opener, only boosting his fantasy appeal. Do you like Juju Smith-Schuster as a wide receiver, too, this year? I see no reason to doubt him, really.
I love him. I am so mad right now that I don't have him on a team yet. He's one of those guys I don't have yet that I'm looking to grab here. I like Smith-Schuster a lot. I mean, you think about it now. Defense is going to focus on Bell, focus on Brown. It's one-on-one coverage with the second cornerback all the time for Smith-Schuster. And sleeper again, James Washington is really picking it up, and even Ben played him up this week. So he's somebody you might want to look for in round 12, 13, 14 of your drafts.
The Packers side, you want to see what you're getting for Jamon Moore, Geronimo Allison, guys like that. The Jets are at the Redskins, 8 p.m. Eastern tonight on national TV. I was so impressed with Sam Darnold last week. And in my new Associated Press column on sleepers that will be out this week, I talk about Darnold as a fantasy sleeper. I'm just wowed by the intangibles. I think he's going to be the best rookie quarterback. It would not surprise me if he's at least a top 14 fantasy quarterback this season.
Does Darnold start from week one?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with you.
If he's ready, why go to good enough to lose with Josh McCown, who I think is lost like 53 of 80 career starts.
Yeah, I think McCown's a fine mentor, a fine number two there. What happens with Teddy Bridgewater?
You know, maybe they move him. You know, that's how fans think, because, you know, you look at a guy like Bridgewater and you have his depth. You know, a fantasy player would say, I have depth in one position. Let me trade it for another. Yeah, but there has been talk about, you know, the Jets may be dealing him. You know, maybe the Broncos are a team that could use him, because I think Case Keenum's going to flop and they don't have a backup quarterback.
Especially with Paxton Lynch failing again. That's the Broncos were the first team I thought of when we heard that earlier this week, that maybe Bridgewater ends up there. I do think he ends up on another team. Jets might get a 6th, 7th round pick.
Fantasy players have to watch this game, though, because for the Redskins, you really want to see who's going to win that battle. This is why preseason is sometimes important between Rob Kelly and Samaje Perine. You know, this offensive line is still not that good, And I think Rob Kelly does a better job of creating his own running room. And he slimmed down. They say he went from fat Rob to fit Rob. So my money's on Rob Kelly, you know. And if this team moves very well under Alex Smith, Rob Kelly could end up being a flex player, I think.
You know, when we talked about Jeremy Hill a couple of minutes ago, could he end up in Washington if he's cut there? Or could we even think about trading him to another team? I was once again out of the conference, something Bill Belichick wouldn't be against doing there. But as for the running backs on the roster, I think it's Rob Kelly right now. Said it on yesterday's show. We'd heard, or at least I had heard, that Perrine was in danger of not even making the team when Geis was healthy. That's done now that Geis is out for the season. He'll make the team. But I think it's Rob Kelly's job to lose, yes.
Yeah, just Perrine was not impressive. Doesn't run well behind his pads or break tackles well enough. I thought he was going to be better in his rookie year. He was a disappointment. Do you remember when Jeremy Hill had that terrific rookie year and people were drafting him in like the second round of the following season?
Yeah, I was in that Dynasty League, which has been around that long. I had Jeremy Hill. I actually released him at some point last year. Now I kind of wish I had him back again. Running backs are so important.
Yeah, and you want to see what happens, you know, how much reps Alex Smith gets tonight. And who he really develops a connection with. You assume it's – a lot of people are assuming it's Jamison Crowder, who I think would play well at any quarterback. You know, they have Paul Richardson as their deep threat, but I think Richardson's going to be a bust this year. I don't think people have high expectations, but I think if you draft Richardson as a wide receiver four, you're going to be disappointed. Russell Wilson is a much better deep passer, will throw the 50-50 ball. When Wilson knows how to break the pocket, Richardson knows how to work with that. I just don't think Alex Smith is going to be able to get him the ball for big plays as much as Wilson did.
I agree. Once again, although it's funny, this is the old lies, damn lies, and statistics. Numbers will tell you that last year Smith was one of the better deep throwers in the game. Now, he didn't do it often. That's the sort of the key there. And he had Tyreek Hill. One of the best deep runners in the game. I think Washington's going to be a mess now that Geis is out. I think they need him to stay healthy and provide Alex with that strong running attack. You know, I think that's what they needed there to sort of make that offense go. We all know Jordan Reed's not playing 16 games. He's going to get banged up. That'll hurt the offense. Doxon can't stay healthy either. Washington, I think, had a lot of hope 2 weeks ago, and I think that hope has been drained with one injury.
Yeah, it was interesting that Kansas City traded Alex Smith to open up the Pat Mahomes era because, you know, Smith had a fine regular season record, but he's one of those guys I consider a regular season player. And I hate to say this too, you like Tony Romo, regular season player. It's, you know, those are guys who, like, especially Smith, who won games when it did matter the most. Always led the team to playoffs four times, but you never expect them to take a deep playoff run. I think Kansas City got tired of that and really wanted to, you know, see if they could take a next step with somebody else.
I think I understand the move KC made here. Actually, I think you said it correctly. Smith can only take them so far, right? So far, they want to see if Mahomes could get them over that hump. I think it probably hurts them in the short term. Long term, it may be what they need.
Yeah, and, you know, Mahomes is the type of guy, I think, you know, could have those type of weeks where it's three touchdowns, three interceptions, and 325 passing yards because that Kansas City defense is going to be bad.
It's not going to be what it was. You know, they lost too many players there. It's not going to be the lockdown defense they were. I'm not so sure, Casey. I think, listen, the Chargers, in my mind, are a team to watch in that division with Denver 2, KC 3, Oakland 4.
All right. Thanks for listening to the Roto Experts with Scott Engel and George Kurtz. Make sure you get your exclusive Edge Fantasy Football package with the brand new article this morning from Brandon Murchison about how to attack the snake draft in different stages. Enter the king at checkout for a special discount. We'll be back tomorrow with a lot of preseason football talk as we recap the three games. And then we'll be taking a look at the five games that are on tomorrow night's schedule. The nationally televised game is between Buffalo and Cleveland. So we get to see more of Tyrod Taylor and Jarvis Landry tomorrow night. Joy, the Browns didn't win a regular season game last year. Maybe they could win two preseason games. Coming up next, Carton and Friends on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.